Thank you, Debbie. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to call to order the Senate Committee on Workforce. Today is Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have work sessions right now. We're going to pass out five bills, hopefully, and then we'll have public hearings on three bills, and we're going to change the order from what's on the agenda. We're going to have a hearing on Senate Bill 2265A first, then on House Bill 2265A, then House Bill 2263, and House Bill 3008A. But let's return to the work session. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2192. And Deborah, can you summarize the bill, please?
House Bill 2192, there was a public hearing held on April 24, 2017. The bill increases the term for members appointed to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee from 2 years to 3 years. There's no fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and the House vote was 58-0.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and ask Senator Knope for a motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move House Bill 2192 to the floor of the Oregon Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves House Bill 2192 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. And I will go ahead and why don't we just go ahead and go down the line of who carries them? Senator Hansel, thank you. I appreciate that. And we're going to close the work session on House Bill 2192. And we'll open a work session on House Bill 2335. Deborah, can you summarize the bill, please?
House Bill 2335, there was a public hearing held on April 24, 2017. It allows the director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services to appoint up to three members to a panel of medical arbiters upon request by a party involved with closure of workers' compensation claims. There's no fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and the House vote was 60-0.
I ask Senator Knope for a motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move House Bill 2335 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves House Bill 2335 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. And Senator Modest Anderson, you carry, please. Thank you. And close the work session on House Bill 2335. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2336A. Deborah, summarize the bill, please.
House Bill 2336A, the Senate Workforce Committee held a public hearing on April 24, 2017. The bill allows the director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services to appoint a claims processing agent for self-insured employer who defaults, cancels certification, or is decertified by the director. Provides that paying agency must reimburse the department for expenditures made and for present value of reasonably expected expenditures. There's no fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and the House vote was 60-0.
Okay, Senator Knope, motion please.
Chair Taylor, I move House Bill 2336A to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves House Bill 2336A to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. I will carry the bill and we'll close the work session on House Bill 2336A. Open a work session on House Bill 2337A and ask Deborah to summarize the bill, please.
Senate Workforce Committee held a public hearing on HB 2337A on April 24, 2017. It increases the minimum and maximum workers' compensation benefits for permanent total disability. A fiscal impact statement was issued. There's no revenue impact, and the House vote was 59-0.
Senator Knope, a motion, please.
Yeah, Chair Taylor, I move House Bill 2337A to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves House Bill 2337A to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. And Senator Knope, you please carry the bill.
Okay.
Yes, and close a work session on House Bill 2337A. Open a work session on House Bill 2338A. Deborah, summarize the bill, please.
The Senate Workforce Committee held a public hearing on HB 2338A on April 24, 2017. The bill simplifies the criteria and benefit levels for death benefits due to children of worker who dies from on-the-job injury or occupational disease or who dies while permanently and totally disabled. Requires the director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services to adjust the amount and duration of death benefits for injuries that occurred prior to the effective date. A fiscal impact statement was issued. There's no revenue impact, and the House vote was 59-0.
Senator Knope, a motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move House Bill 2338A to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves House Bill 2338A to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes, and I think it's very appropriate, although it was a coincidence, that Senator Gelsa carry that bill. She is our tireless advocate for children in the great state of Oregon, so we are going to go ahead and have Senator Gelsa carry the bill. Close the work session on House Bill 2338A. And we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2265A. And Deborah, if you could summarize the bill, please.
House Bill 2665A was introduced at the request of Governor Kate Brown for the Employment Relations Board. It allows parties negotiating terms of collective bargaining agreement to agree in writing as to when to start the 150-day period after which either party may request mediation. There's no fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and the House vote was 58-1.
Okay, so let's go ahead and call up Adam Reinhard, please. Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good, Sir Taylor. How are
you? It's beautiful out. I love seeing these are dedicated people here fighting for their bills on such a beautiful day. So,
perfect day to testify.
Perfect day to testify. Okay. What do you have to say for us today, please?
Good afternoon, Chair Taylor, members of the committee. My name is Adam Reinhard. I'm the chair of the Employment Relations Board, and I'll just give a little bit of background about our agency so you know what we do. We're basically the dispute resolution agency for public employers, public employees, and labor organizations that represent those employees. And as part of our jurisdiction, we process petitions determining whether or not folks want to be represented by a labor organization or not. We process unfair labor practice complaints that are filed against public employers and labor organizations. And we provide training and mediation services to help parties resolve their disputes. And the bills that we're going to talk about today really sort of focus on the mediation sort of component of it. So HB 2265A is a little bit of background on how our mediation services work. Basically, when parties are bargaining for a successor contract, a collective bargaining agreement, they have to bargain in good faith for 150 days before one of the parties can come before our agency and say, we would like a mediator assigned to help us. We can't resolve our contractual dispute. So we would like a mediator to assist us in that. Currently, the 150 days starts when two things happen. One, the parties meet for their first bargaining session, and two, each party receives the other party's initial proposal. What HB 2265 does is it adds a third possibility, which is that the parties mutually agree to an alternative date in which the 150-day period begins. Practically speaking, the parties do this from time to time. They'll sit down and negotiate what they call their ground rules. And we'll say, you know, well, let's agree as part of our ground rules that we're going to meet on these days, and the 150 days will begin on this date. So this bill essentially codifies the ability for the parties to do that, to have that mutual agreement. It's important in one other respect, which is something called interest-based bargaining, which more and more employers and labor organizations are involved in. It's different from a proposal-based bargaining, which the statute kind of envisions, and it's more a more collaborative approach where parties don't necessarily exchange proposals in the traditional sense. So when parties do interest-based bargaining, the first thing that they do is they would sort of agree on ground rules, and that ground rule will be when the 150 days starts. So again, this bill really just allows the parties to do that. It codifies it in statute.
Okay.
And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, I think that we're good. That was a very nice summary. I really appreciate that. So we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 2265A.
So there was no opposition at all to this? There was no opposition.
Chair Taylor, Senator Monson.
Yeah, I have to open back up the public hearing. We'll open up the public hearing again on House Bill 2265A. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So was there any opposition whatsoever that?
Chair Taylor, Senator Montes Anderson, no, we did not receive any opposition. I should have given you a little bit more background on the process and the bill. We did send it out to our stakeholders, and we had two public meetings in Portland and Salem where we invited our stakeholders to come and view the legislative concepts. We then had it posted on our website for 6 months and said, if you have any questions or concerns, please come to us. And we didn't receive any opposition.
Thank
for
you.
This. Okay, we'll go ahead. And any other questions? So we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2265A, and we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2263. And Deborah, if you could summarize the bill, please.
HB 2263 was introduced at the request of Governor Kate Brown for the Employment Relations Board. It increases the maximum fees for mediation sessions conducted by the mediator assigned by the Employment Relations Board to $625 for the third mediation session and lowers the maximum fee to $625 for the fourth mediation session. It allows the board to establish the fee for providing labor relations and negotiation training. no fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and the House vote was 48-8.
Okay. Adam.
So, thank you again, Chair Taylor, members of the committee.
Need to just, for to be clear, say your name for the record again.
Again, my name is Adam Reiner. I'm the chair of the Employment Relations Board, and I'm testifying in support of HB 2263. Piggybacking on the last bill and talking about the mediation services that we provide, the statute also currently allows the board to charge mediation services, fees for mediation services to local public employers. We do not charge these fees to state agencies, but we do charge them to local governments. And currently, the statute has four different fee structures. There's sort of a two-for-one for the first two. It was $1,000 for the first two. It's $500 for the third. It goes up to $750 for the fourth, and then it goes up to $1,000. That's how $750 for the third, and then $1,000 for the fourth. I'm sorry, I got that. I mixed that up. It's basically a two-for-one for the first two, and then there's a fee for the third, a fee for the fourth, and then for a fee for anything five and beyond. Mm-hmm. And what this bill does is it simply flattens out the fee structure between the third and the fourth session. And it does that by raising the third by $125 and lowering the fourth, simply just to simplify the fee structure. It was, you know, sort of a little bit back and forth. People are like, which session are we in? You know, this is going up and this is going down. So it essentially just tries to flatten out those and make it a little more simplified of a fee structure. And the other one is really just a language, sort of a clarification. You know, it currently talks about that we establish fees for training, talks about interest-based problem solving, and it just defines it now as providing labor relations and negotiations training as a more accurate way to capture the type of training we provide.
Okay.
And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions? Senator?
Yeah. Adam, what is the problem we're trying to solve with upping and lowering the fees?
Chair Taylor, Senator Hansel, the initial problem in terms of why they were sort of structured that way, the idea, I recall, is in 2011 when these fee structures, it used to be that there was just $1,000 for the fees. And in 2011, there was an amendment. And the thought was that it might incentivize parties if you have a lower fee and then it goes up in the next session to $750 to try and settle it quicker. But practice hasn't really borne that out. The reality is that about 87% of our cases are resolved within the first two. The first two where they sort of get the two for one. I think the average is 1.7. And of the remaining 13%, half are done on the third and half are done on the fourth or thereafter. So it hasn't really proved to be that sort of incentive. But that was the initial concept behind it, is it might incentivize parties to settle earlier. But that extra little bit hasn't, we haven't really seen that. Does that answer the question?
It is, but why are we raising the third one?
Well, the thought was that would just be a way to neutralize it, raise the third and lower the fourth, that would be an even way, a relatively revenue-neutral way to simplify it a little bit and sort of offset. They would offset each other, and that was sort of the concept behind it, that it would still drop from the 1,000, and then it would sort of go up to 1,000 after that.
I guess I don't have a problem with it. I'm not understanding the rationale why we're doing it.
Yeah, Chair Taylor has the best explanation I can have. Is there was it seemed to be a little bit too cumbersome to have all these different fee structures, and there was a thought out there, a concept out there that it might be nice to just simplify a little bit and classify, but do it in a way that's revenue neutral, and sort of raise the one and, you know, lower the other by the same exact amount. That's the best answer that I have.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 2263. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3008A. And Michael Dale. We'll go ahead and come on up, Michael, and then we'll have Deborah summarize the bill, please.
House Bill 3008A was sponsored by Representative Malmstrom. It prohibits the employer from requiring an employee to submit information related to hours worked or pay received when the employer knows the information is false. It provides that each pay period in which a violation occurs or continues is a separate violation. It establishes a private right of action. It allows the court to award actual damages or $1,000 per violation, whichever is greater, as well as injunctive relief, attorney's fees, and costs. Allows the Commissioner of Bureau of Labor and Industries to assess a civil penalty not to exceed $1,000 per violation. No fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and the House vote was 53-5.
Okay.
Chair Taylor, members of the committee, my name is Michael Dale. I work at the Northwest Worker Justice Project, and I represent the Oregon Coalition to Stop Wage Theft. You've heard me say, I think, in this committee before that wage theft is a tremendous problem in Oregon and maybe growing worse. The practice addressed in this bill is a particularly bad kind of practice, because what it does is it puts workers in the position of signing false records about their own time, and then in a wage complaint, whether that's at Bowley or in private, the key issue is going to be, what time did you work? And the record, if any, of the employee is going to be a crumpled up piece of notebook paper that's got maybe, you know, the grocery list scribbled on the side of it, and is not going to look that professional. And the employer, on the other hand, is going to have a regularized, normalized appearing record that the worker signed. And that makes it almost an insurmountable task to prove that it was any different than that. It undermines prevailing wage statutes that require filing certified payroll. It's bad practice, and it ought to be particularly penalized. Good bill. Do pass.
Okay. All right. Are there any questions? Yeah. Yes, so, Senator Monis Anderson.
Could there be bad employees, though, that want to take advantage of the situation?
Senator Monis Anderson, Madam Chair, Senator Monis Anderson, my clients are never dishonest, I assure you. There may be some other bad ones out there. There could be employees that are trying to take advantage of the system or something like that. All we're saying here is that you can't require someone to sign something that you know is false. And that seems to me pretty unobjectionable.
But just follow up then. So yes, you're saying, but this is across the board now. I'm just used to signing our. I mean, we sign, or my staff signs their hours. Well, now we do it electronically. The number of hours they work, and I just want to make sure I understand the bill. So an employee who knows that it's false doesn't have to sign it, but ordinarily they sign it? Well, or are you getting rid of the signing altogether?
No, we're not getting rid of the signing.
Okay,
we're just saying that
understand.
If the employer knows it's false, okay, they can't say, in order to get your paycheck, you hear, you've got to sign this.
I got you.
You have any other questions?
No.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Mr. Dale? Okay. Thank you very much. We're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3008A. Welcome, Senator Gelser.
Thank you.
You may not want to get too cozy, because we're about to adjourn.
How? Would anybody like to suspend the rules so I could vote?
I was just going to talk to you about that. And also, I want to go ahead and let you know that we did assign a bill for you to carry. And guess what?
What? Which one is it?
House Bill 2338A. And it was a coincidence, because we went down the line, and then it's going to turn out to be just absolutely perfect for you.
That's great. And I suppose that means if someone suspends the rules, I should probably vote in favor of it.
Well, I think that we should go ahead and suspend the rules, and can Deborah or Debbie give me some direction on exactly, do we need to do this for each one, or have to open up the work sessions for each one in order for Senator Gelser to vote, or can you do all at once? Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and suspend the rules and open up.
You have to do, right, and I was looking for the motion, and this is.
He probably knows it by heart.
I think so,
but. Madam Chair, I move that we suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing Senator Gelser to vote on House Bill 2192, House Bill 2335, House Bill 2336A, House Bill 2337A, and House Bill 2338A.
Okay.
That will not change the outcome.
Nope, yes, it will not change the outcome.
Okay, so Senator Knope moves that we suspend the rules to allow Senator Gelser to vote on House Bill 2192, House Bill 2335, House Bill 2336A, House Bill 2337A, and House Bill 2338A. Senator Gelser, how do you vote?
Madam Chair, I vote yes on all of these bills. And would just like to compliment this committee on, in 25 minutes, completing 5 work sessions, 3 public hearings, and 1 rule suspension. That's impressive.
Yes. Oh, I need to take a step back and vote. Is any objection to suspending the rules?
No.
No? Seeing no objection? Do I need to gavel on that?
Yeah.
Now, do I have to open up the work session again for her to vote?
I do. You just know.
Just
I do
to cover it. Your bases.
Okay.
What is your vote?
Open a work session. I need some. What is the script?
So it's the same as before. It's just opening a work session collectively on all the bills.
Does he need to make a motion?
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that again.
I'm going to make the same motion again.
Not to suspend the rules, the motions for each of the bills, but you're opening the work session for this purpose. I don't think you need to restate it. I think that's just the purpose. You've already suspended the rules for that right. purpose, so then you're doing it, right?
So all she needs to do is just reopen the work session.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am reopening the work session after the committee agreed to suspend the rules to allow Senator Gelser to vote on House Bill 2192, House Bill 2335, House Bill 2336A, House Bill 2337A, and House Bill 2338A. Senator Gelser, how do you vote?
At this point, it feels anticlimactic not to change any of my votes, but because I'm a good trooper, I'll vote yes on all of them. Yes, 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 yes. And yes on the bill that I'm carrying.
Yes, and Senator Gelser, again, will carry House Bill 2338A. And we're going to go ahead and close the work session on House Bill 2192, House Bill 2335, House Bill 2336A, House Bill 2337A, and House Bill 2338A. And our next meeting is on Monday.
Close the work session.
I just did.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I just heard the numbers. Okay.
It's okay. The our next meeting is on Monday, May 8th, and we will have some additional bills. I don't think we've quite sorted out who's going to be available for what. You'll be getting the agenda soon. And then on Wednesday of next week, we are going to have a public hearing and possible work session or work session on the pay equity bill. Senator Canope and I have been working on some final changes to the equal pay bill. And of course, those details will be presented. So I just wanted to communicate that we're working on that. And the intent is to possibly move the bill a week from today, but receiving more information. So, okay. All right, so we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting at Senate Committee on. Okay. All right, so we'll go ahead and adjourn.